Stand back. There's a hurricane coming through.
Paul Kuharski from PaulKuharski.com with us for the next hour on Robbie and Rex Road. Brought to you by Jimmy Kelly's Steakhouse and Sealmaster. PK with us every Wednesday morning in the 8 o'clock hour talking all things Titans. We welcome your questions at 615-737-1025 on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. PK, let's start with some news that you broke on the L'Jarius Sneed front. On Tuesday in Dallas County, Texas, failure to report a felony. He has been indicted by the grand jury in that case here. So what is the latest with L'Jarius Sneed? And I know some Titans fans in the immediate aftermath of your reporting that, PK, yesterday asked if that was good enough basically to get out from underneath his contract. What is the latest on all of that?
Yeah, I'm surprised how few people understand that what an indictment is, I guess. He's not guilty of anything.
Are they idiots too?
Well,
is everybody an idiot, Paul, other than you?
Wouldn't you agree here, Joe, that people should understand that you need to be guilty of something before they're going to start taking your money away?
I suppose.
And wouldn't you agree that an indictment isn't a guilty verdict?
You have a point there.
Okay, so there we go.
Indicted.
He's indicted by a grand jury, which means there's enough evidence to move forward with the trial. If he's found guilty at this trial, the Titans will have recourse to conceivably recoup guaranteed money.
And there won't be a trial,
and to get out. Joe doesn't think there'll be a trial. There may be a trial. There may be a settlement. In either circumstance, I think that would come after, based on the pace of this trial, after the beginning of the new league year, in which case the Titans would be making the decision pre-trial or pre-settlement. I think they'll cut him. I think they'll take the $8 million of dead salary cap hit. And then when something happens with this, they may recoup money.
Important element of this. Because any kind of, since we're talking legalese here, any kind of plea bargain is guilty. I mean, that right?
Well, you would presume that yeah. The only way the district attorney would take it is an admission of guilt. Now, the other important part of this is his friend so the accusation is that he witnessed this, and a reasonable person would report the commission of a felony to the authorities. Well, his friend was indicted of the aggravated assault that he didn't report, right?
Yeah.
If that wasn't a crime or seen as indictable offense, then that would soften the accusation against Sneed. That was also indicted as an aggravated assault with an attempt to cause bodily harm or death. So he witnessed that. He did not report it. And that in Texas is a top-level misdemeanor, which could result in up to a year in prison, a $4,000 fine, or both. It's quite an array of potential punishments. I would not expect he gets a year in jail for it as a first-time offender, but it's not a good development, obviously.
Yeah. So this is, I believe, the first time we've talked to you in the aftermath of the Borgonzi press conference. What did you make overall of what he had to say and kind of how he came out of it?
I think it was a good press conference in that he was straightforward, and we didn't come out of there with a lot of mysteries or wow, he really tap dance around this, or you know, there was more clarity on Brownlee. He spoke directly about a lot of issues, but this is just the Titans fans' habit, and the Titans have their fans programmed. You know, if Bryce Oliver goes out there and makes three catches, then Bryce Oliver is the second coming at receiver, because the Titans have been crappy at receiver for so long. So the Titans go out and deliver what is a regular press conference, and everybody's like, oh my God, did you see that press conference? It was a miracle. It was the best press conference in the history of press conferences. Don't let them program you to the point where something normal you now hail as spectacular. I mean, I like Mike Borgonzi. I think Mike Borgonzi should be in charge of the coaching hire practically by himself. I think he should be the guy who chooses the next head coach. I think he's the most competent football player, football resource over there. And that's off not that much, you know, evidence. But let's not go crazy over him doing something normal.
Hey, man, this fan base is down bad, okay?
Like, I know.
Come on.
Yeah.
But you're like, let them have something.
You're giving them too much credit for doing something that teams do all the time. And that babies them. That gives them a crutch. Say, hey, that was good. That should be the standard. Let's see that on a regular basis. Not throw a parade for the guy. I mean, he did his job. Hooray. Now let's continue to do our job.
Where was the parade? Like on Facebook or something?
Phone calls to the station, on Twitter, all over the place. It was like, wow. I mean, come on.
Yeah, let them have a little. Let them have a little fun.
PK over there.
Best press conference ever. First of all, you're struck, or at least I was, by, boy, sure is a lot better to not have Brinker there.
Yep.
And just in part because I think Bargonzi is deferring or it's kind of like.
Mike, do you have any thoughts on this?
Yeah, which I think that they should now just do, right? The personnel situation, just have Bargonzi talk.
Agree.
You know, Brinker.
But I think Borgonzi's been reluctant.
Yeah.
I'll say that. I mean, people think like Brinker's forced himself out there. I think Brinker has to a degree done it because he's felt like he's had to do it.
Okay. So you think Borgonzi was up there against his will the other day?
No, I think
he prepared for it and he was willing to do it and he understood it was his time to do it. But given a choice between doing it and not doing it, he'd rather not do it.
I thought it was a different approach from Borgonzi from the standpoint of most of the time when I've heard him talk to this point, it's been just, you know.
Begrudging.
Your canned answers of let's just get in and out of here without saying anything.
Yeah.
And I thought he was pretty intentional to be, you know, he's never going to get up there and say everything, but I thought he was pretty intentional in terms of now is probably not the time with the fan base at 1-8 being what they are to get up here and dance around stuff all the time.
Well, that's a good point. But also, it's never the time with the fan base, you know? So learn from that. It's not just that in times of duress you should be a little bit more revealing. Go ahead. He did nothing to hurt himself or to compromise anything, but he actually gave some answers and some insight into how he's – do that every time. That's
right.
Very simple.
And he won a lot of people over, which is great. I mean, and I think, as I've said, to a remarkable degree based on the feedback I got. So more power to him. But, I mean – look, I'll say it again. He's the best football executive they have over there. If you're going to have faith in anybody, let it be him. But, again, and I've said this before, you can be like, I like the guy and I feel good about the guy. Let's not jump to let Mike cook or, in Mike we trust. You don't have to go all the way.
Berserker! Let's not jump to the. Thank you. You got that ready at all times.
I love it.
Can you Can you leave that like on the board while you go to the bathroom or something? And
so you can delete
a note,
it.
Like where I could delete it.
Yeah, I'm sure you'd be able to work this system just fine.
Just show
what's your problem with Berserker, man.
You should have seen these two in the break trying to get Joe's cursor figured out. I'm sure that they'd figure out that board. In
Joe said he needed a bigger pointer, so I gave him a bigger pointer, and then he said, "Oh, that's not what I need."
I mean,
now he's got a pointer that's the size of my.
Look
mom,
at this freaking arrow now mom. That I have on my computer.
It's
look at that thing.
What he asked for. He was unable to articulate what he actually wanted.
I'm just glad he's down
to one
computer.
So I gave him what he asked for.
It's like I'm doing a crossword puzzle and the letters are this big. I can't quite make that out.
We have more with Paul Kuharsky coming
gecko?
Up next.
Gecko?
You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Paul Kuharsky from PaulKuharsky.com with us here on the program. Does an outstanding job covering the Tennessee Titans. Longtime staple in Nashville radio. And now a member of our IT team. Getting Rex Road situated with his new laptop over
difficult.
There as well.
Oh, you scroll with two fingers on the track.
He actually did just help me. This you may have improved my life.
You're welcome.
I hate you a little less right at this moment.
That's Joe's way of saying thank you.
Yeah. I love you.
Yeah.
Very much.
I love you too, Joe.
I not hate you totally.
Yeah. Cam Ward. 57.6% completion percentage through nine games, 1,760 yards, six an attempt, five touchdowns, six picks. We know their roster is awful. The help that he's got is awful. You got an interim head coach now. The offensive line has been very hit or miss so far this year. So in the second half of the year here, PK, What's the number one thing you're looking at with Cam Ward that you want to see? Because we all know wins are not going to be coming with any sort of regularity. But what's the number one thing you're looking to see improvement-wise from Cam Ward the rest of the way?
It's a really good question. I mean,
thank you.
I think he's got to start hitting the easy stuff more easily. That sounds crazy. But it's just not consistent enough. It's not reliable enough. He talks about it every week. He'll talk about it again today. They talk about it. This footwork stuff, though, that goes into a lot of that, the mechanical stuff, I just don't think that, and I'm writing about this, this will be out tomorrow, there's just not enough time built into what they do on a weekly basis for him to make significant strides at that. And a new coach is going to come in, and the nuances of it will probably be different, what he's asked to do, and it needs to be an intensive thing in the off season. And there'll be significantly more time first for him to work with whoever he's working with, who will hopefully take guidance from the Titans' new coaches. And then in OTAs and all of that, where you have, you know, hours per day that you can work with a guy where he's not allowed to do a lot of the other stuff, but you can work with him on that, as opposed to these short spurts during practice where you're working on much bigger game plan stuff. But it seems so counterintuitive that these little things are throwing him off on second and six passes. And that's one of the things that's killing them. Their third down percentage is horrific, and I think they've crossed midfield 20 times with no points. And it's just that ties directly into the third down thing, but it's a ridiculous stat.
I argued earlier that I think J.C. Latham is one of the most important individual storylines of the rest of the year. And I would also say if he's able to find his footing, maybe you solidify the offensive line, maybe you run the ball better, maybe you give Cam better conditions for him to actually progress and be able to, you know, to do his job more easily. Where do you think Latham is right now?
I think, you know, he's gotten steadily better since he came back from the hip. You know, this is a hell of a test with two good pass rushers in Hunter and Anderson, who they didn't, you know, I don't think do great against first time through. Houston's feeling awfully good about itself after that comeback win. You know, I don't know what Stroud's status is going to be here if he recovers from the concussion. They're completely capable of going out and losing to Davis Mills. They're capable of losing to anybody, obviously, right now. You know, and Houston all of a sudden is, you know, that was a massive game, Jacksonville-Houston, in terms of second place in this division right now. Latham, I agree on the pass protection and getting the running game going. I want to see more Spears than Pollard. You know, Pollard was pretty good in that last game, but that's a 10-carry game. You know, I think Pollard can give you that in a 10-carry game, but I think we're past the point of looking for Pollard to deliver, you know, a big game on 18 or 22 carries, and I don't think anybody wants to see that anymore. It's got to be very much a split-up effort.
Yeah, but you just have to yeah, I agree. But you have to run it. You have to run it better. They should be able to, I think.
They should be able to, but you've got to be in contact on the scoreboard in order to keep running it. And how much running it are they doing, you know, mid-third quarter on based on scoreboard situations? And then in the fourth quarter where people run away from them, it becomes a non-option. And that's why the carries are down, generally speaking.
Right.
Because those guys don't have a chance.
Yeah, I'm saying before they inevitably get blown out. Yeah.
Before they inevitably get blown out, they really
get those carries in there.
Yeah. And also,
make the game go faster, please.
And I'm sure you guys generally get to watch more other games than I do. I just watched, you know, a weekend worth of football. And they keep talking about the difficulties of getting your hands on people and blocking early because of the way the game's officiated now and the rules. So many teams are not having problems with this. I mean, I'm watching teams throw these screens where a guy not only has people in front of him, he's got people to the left of him and to the right of him, and he is running down a corridor of blockers and gaining 25, 35, 45 yards on screens, and the Titans are just not capable of it. Now, on the one hand, I want them to give up on it because they cannot do it. On the other hand, not having that as part of your offense in the NFL circa 2025 just takes away a whole giant element of what people are doing to gain chunks of yards. And it makes you so less multidimensional. It's a killer. But teams are doing it so well around the league. You see two or three of them in a game that are field flippers, and Titans are incapable of it.
So Mike Herndon put together a piece earlier this week on your site talking about the plan that they've laid out with Borgonzi and the path forward, and can they stick to that? And he brought up a bunch of different things in there. One of them is Calvin Ridley. And Calvin Ridley, as we know, has been hurt, been very up and down in his time with the Titans. Do you expect, is it a foregone conclusion in your mind, that they're moving on from him at the end of the year?
I don't have the money in front of me, but I would imagine so, yes. I think I envision them being able to trade out of their spot. You know, some of those teams directly behind them are quarterback needy. If they get the number one pick, they should be able to do what they did, you know, the year after drafting Marcus, and get out of there for a pretty good thing. And then if you have three picks in the top 35, say, or something like that, you should be able to get yourself edge rusher, cornerback, and
receiver.
Yep. And that receiver needs to be, you know, the talk is, you know, Braden Gall, who's my number one, like, look at what's going on in college guy, is talking about, you know, they're not otherworldly receivers, but you could get yourself a Jackson Smith and Jigba type or an Egbuka type. Well, those guys, to me, are transformative receivers if you put them in Tennessee. If you could have one of those, a guy that's like one of those two guys on this team,
yep,
over Calvin Ridley, those guys, Egbuka, especially, I've had him on my fantasy team. Well, I mean, fantastic. He's a transformative guy. If you could drop him in and he could do what he's done for Tampa Bay this year, give me that guy with DK and Isle Manor in year two, and I'd feel pretty comfortable. Go get a veteran on top of that for a four-pack. Bang. You'd be somewhere with your wide receiver core.
By the way,
now you got to keep them healthy.
All right, according to Herndon, they'd save $13.7 million in cap space if they release Ridley.
Look, and all that's bonus money. I mean, yep, they're already in terrific position money-wise. So then if you're saving that, you know, that offsets Snead cost you $8 million. You know, so you between the two of them, you'd be saving five. Bonus, you know, your cap concerns are minimal at this stage, given how much cap money you're set to have.
Are we talking draft?
Kind of a little bit of draft.
Kind of
got to be careful.
6.5.
I mean, look, I talked about types they need, not who they should go get.
Your thoughts on Reuben Bain? 615-737-1025. Our phone number, more your thoughts to get to on the Titans front. 30 more minutes with PK. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Paul Kuharski from paulkuharski.com with us here on the program, taking your thoughts on all things Titans. Will on Music Row asking, PK, do you think Pollard replacing Henry is better or worse than Didi Gregorius replacing Derek Jeter?
I think in both situations, expectations were low. I thought Didi Gregorius did a pretty good job. You know, expectations were lower.
Such a soft
Paul.
Fan. Man, demand excellence, Paul.
Yeah.
The guy replacing the guy, how often is the guy replacing the guy done well, Joe?
Not very.
Yeah, I guess, you know. But I'm just saying.
I'm trying to think of a guy that was really good on one of your teams, but it's hard.
Kalen DeBoer is doing okay. People like him again now. Yeah. People like Kalen DeBoer.
Rogers, but you're not an Alabama guy. I'm trying to think of somebody really good on one of your teams and then his replacement.
Like, for example, I don't even remember who replaced Chuck Daly as Pistons coach.
See?
But it wasn't good.
But we remember Didi Gregorius. See how that's different?
I think it was Doug Collins. Yeah, he kind of sucked. George from Murfreesboro says, I want to ask Paul a question, but the Titans are so rock bottom awful, I'm not sure what to ask. I guess my question for PK is, did the Titans make a mistake in drafting Cam Ward? And somebody else also asked you, is Cam Ward better than Will Levis?
Well, it's too early to say. All of this Cam Ward judgment stuff is just too early. I'm sorry.
We have to wait. It's a daily radio show,
Paul. I understand.
Paul.
But you have to wait until mid-season.
I want about a daily judgment.
About this time next year, we can judge Cam Ward. Sorry.
Yeah.
I understand it's a daily radio show, but that's my comment on the daily radio show. Check back this time next year.
We'll see you next year.
I have no daily comment.
Yeah, I have a yearly comment.
One texter says, I saw some stats regarding Latham that his performance was better last year versus this year. As crazy as it might be, is there any chance that the next coach could flip him back to the left?
No. I mean, it's Borgonzi's involved in this move. You know, coach, it just
I don't
makes
think you
no
should
sense.
Say, how do you know no? How
it,
do you know
it
no?
It makes no sense to continue to move the guy around. He's got to lock in at one spot and stay there. It does him no good. And then what do you do with Moore? You play him at the right?
No, but
okay. So I took the air out of your balloon.
No, but the scenario. But to say absolutely no, I'm just saying you don't know that like the next coaching staff doesn't come in and say no. Actually, remember the whole evaluation process that said yeah he's a left tackle. Well, I'm looking at him. He's better than Dan Moore at left tackle, and whatever we drafted in the fifth round. This guy who can only play right. You know what I mean? You don't know how things are going to work out.
I'd go 85%, maybe higher, that Latham's at right tackle next year. Dan Moore handcuffs you into it.
Yeah, the Mandor.
That's your boy.
A little too cracked open these days. Seriously.
I like the nickname. It is, but they can't replace him. There's too much other stuff. He's a two-year commitment.
The Mandor is wide open. Put the hinges back on the Mandor.
Through this door, a quarterback. Waiting for you to sack him.
That one series where he gave up the two sacks, I talked to him about it after. He's like, yeah, I just can't have lapses like that. And I'm like, yeah, no bleep.
Yeah. I mean, seriously.
You know, I just can't allow my quarterback to get killed like that.
Like, what? I shouldn't ask this question.
Go ahead. Let it loose.
Well, it's too. I can't help myself. All right. They get to whatever they're at the top of their board in the second round or third round or whatever, and it's a tackle.
They can't.
Can't do it. Can't. No matter what. Top of your board.
Listen, the top
aren't you
of
supposed
board,
to be disciplined and go with the top
no,
of your board?
No.
No?
Listen, you can say
wow,
that
you're
all
teaching
you
us
want.
New things about
you can say that
personnel.
All you want, but then what do? Then you have two starting left tackles and no starting cornerback
but Dan
or
Moore's
no starting
good.
Receiver.
No, but if that's good. Your long-term left tackle, then that's your long-term left tackle. You just won. You just did a good job. Dan Moore's not good.
Okay, but you have no look, best draft, best available at a position in need. Period.
I'm kind of with it.
I mean, well, that's fine. You draft
there
the
are plenty
tackle.
Of NFL
you
successful GMs tackle. Who would dunk on what you just said
you
there.
They say they dunk on it, and then they do what I say, which is draft best available to position in need. Because what are you going to do with Dan Moore? Then he's your swing tackle?
That's about what he should be.
I agree. But then you have not spent a value pick on the three positions that we keep talking about where you must have someone.
But if you but
you've yeah, got
but,
a functional body.
But if you believe hand. But if your evaluation is that is a better football player than that guy, then you take the better football player. It's still a position of need. It is absolutely a position of need. There's no position of the Tennessee Titans that's not a position of need other than quarterback.
Agree.
And there are some people that debate that.
Yeah. and that's TBD.
Agree. But if you look at the depth chart and there's no name at corner and there's no name at edge and there's no name at wide receiver one and there's Dan Moore at left tackle, it's got to be hard.
That's loser GM.
Take the left tackle. Loser GM.
You suck as a GM.
I do suck as a GM, but I'm going to take people at places where there is no one.
All right, that's enough draft. Rexler
can't help himself. Talk about the draft.
I know, I'm sorry.
Let's head back to our phone line. Welcome in Trey to the program. Trey, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Good morning, guys. How y'all doing?
Good, buddy.
Hey, I just wanted to say that you know, I know PK think that Cam Ward, you know, why we have to wait to next year to say, okay, Cam isn't good enough.
You ever been around a baby?
No, I understand that. But when you enter the NFL, you need a set standard minimum of ability.
Okay, so you would have been done with Peyton Manning. Good job. Hall of Famer, you're done with him year one.
I'm talking about today.
Okay, so today in Peyton Manning's rookie year, you would have been done with him. He had way more interceptions than touchdowns. He wasn't playing well.
I'm not saying that I am done with him. What I'm saying is that he does not have the fundamentals to be doing what he's doing, and why we have to wait till next year to say he's not good enough.
He's not good enough right now. Nobody's disagreeing with you with that. But then you give him time to get good enough. He's going to have a new coach. Drake May, last year at this stage, not very good. Now leading MVP candidate. See how that works? Time.
He doesn't have the mechanics to do the job.
Correct.
That's all I'm saying.
Correct.
All right, Trey.
Well, what do you want to do?
You just told us you don't watch, you listen. How do you know about his mechanics?
I do listen. Okay. What? I do listen.
How are you listening to mechanics?
Zarzer does a hell of a job on mechanics. And what Zarzer
is showing me is that Cam does not have the ability to be in this position.
This guy must be the ultimate wordsmith of all wordsmiths.
Let's stick with him now.
What do you want them to do then?
What I want them to go out. They should have got a veteran in the beginning. I called into the show and say they need to get a veteran to be behind Cam Ward.
I agree, but they didn't.
And I was told I was a fool for saying that.
Okay, but if you play the veteran now, then when you get around to Cam, he's just going to pick up now and take the lumps. He's going to be ready from running the scout team. He's going to be ready for Jordan Love had 4 years. Nobody's getting 4 years on the bench, man. That's an unusual thing. That's an outlier. Quarterbacks today, they get put in the lineup, they take their lumps, and you see if they make it through it or not. That's what they're doing.
But can we say, though, Cam Ward is physically challenged right now? Can we say that?
I don't know about mentally challenged, he's mentally challenged right now. Yes, nobody's disagreeing with you on that.
But I don't know what you want.
They can't bench him. They don't have a better alternative. He's got to take his lumps and learn.
Thank you, Trey.
The guy
is Trey gone?
Up.
Shout out to Taylor.
You hung up on Trey before he could say
he's
he
loves PK.
He's
mixing up sound and
I think he was on enough.
He's saying I see when he hears, and he's saying he hears when he sees. I don't know.
I need Zarzer, good job.
Zarzer
must be absolutely just crafting. Yeah. A picture tells 1,000 words. I mean,
his
my
feet
goodness.
Go patter. His left foot opens, his right foot lands, and the ball is delivered accurately.
This is like revolutionary play-by-play style. I got
to
check Ward this out.
Ward scrambling. His feet are pointed to both sidelines. He lets go of the ball.
It floats high and left.
6 yards short.
Elbow flared out at a 17-degree angle.
615-737-1025, our phone number. One more segment with PK coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Final segment of the day, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Paul Kuharsky with us from paulkuharsky.com, taking your thoughts, your questions. Cody says, it seems to me that Borgonzi is banking on Cam Ward's mental makeup more than anything to get him through the mud and be fine on the other side of it until he can get the pieces around him. Do you guys agree with that strategy? This is from Cody on the text line.
Banking on his mental makeup, banking on him all around to get them through. No, I mean everybody together has to get them through. Cam has to grow at a sufficient pace, but I mean they're banking on Cam Ward to be a good starting quarterback in sufficient time.
What do you got over there, Robbie?
Just Johnny B on Twitter said, let Borgonzi bake, and maybe where we need to go.
Exactly. By the way, I have an answer for you. You want me to give you the answer, Robbie?
Yeah.
So the Arkansas fans going Cougar. So the rumor, and this is the rumor on the message boards, is that Dabo's leaving Clemson for Arkansas. So
do what?
Gotta leave.
I believe what all the drop the mic, et cetera, et cetera, is all about. So
I've just seen a lot of excited Arkansas fans, and there's been no like direct name connected to it.
You gotta get out. Yeah, I think that's it.
Yeah, I mean, some people do that. I mean, Dabo's not going to get fired after this year, but I guess after this year, next year could get kind of interesting, I guess, right?
Changes quick.
It does.
And then who gets Clemson?
That's
These
a good question.
These are the stories that I want to read from you.
thank you. Lenny points out to you on the Peyton Manning point, which I mean is fair.
Peyton Manning is a bad example because Peyton Manning – was good inside the bad. It's
Peyton
just who
Manning
he jumped to.
Yeah, Lenny does say he had 26 touchdowns that year. He also had 326 completions, which was a rookie record.
Completion percentage was worse than what Cam's is now, though.
But I do believe that caller would have been upset with Peyton Manning, and probably been saying similar things.
I'd agree.
Yeah,
how did Peyton Manning sound on the radio broadcast?
Yeah. Yeah, who was painting that picture?
Oh,
with
I can't
their
think
words?
It was Bob. He got fired because he said something stupid about Peyton Manning. Actually,
really?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, it all comes back full circle.
I mean, Trey actually doesn't watch, but he is so opinionated.
His footwork sucks. Oh, man. Should we talk about the game? They do play this week.
Yeah, we got into it a little bit, but yeah.
Nobody
let's
wants
do
a
that.
Preview of the game.
I'm just, people, we've had some texts. What about some X's and O's, baby? What's going on with the game this weekend?
What's the key?
Mike McCoy's talking about how, you know, they got to get better on third down.
Your three keys to the game, PK.
Yeah, Bob Lamy.
Okay, good.
He got, it says he didn't get fired. That he retired.
Oh, okay.
After a controversial incident.
What did he say?
2018. I'm not finding the controversial incident.
Well, Manning was long gone by then. 2018? Manning was long gone.
Yeah, but I still think he might have said, oh, he used the racial slur while retelling a story to a friend.
Oh. Yeah. Okay.
That'll do it.
Thanks for bringing it up, PK.
You're welcome.
Good stuff.
I wanted to fill out what I said. I got the name and I got the incident.
We're trying to talk about the Titans and the Texans matchup.
Look,
here.
You got to stop their pass rushers, right? Number one.
There we go.
If they've got a bad quarterback, a worse quarterback playing because their main quarterback has a concussion, that would be Stroud with the concussion, and it would be everybody's favorite Davis Mills as the backup. You got to hit him. But, you know, Draymond.
You can extend plays too.
Draymond Jones was the guy who was hitting people, and he's gone now. So, you know, Ward, the other Ward, Hottie Ward, needs to lead the charge there, but he needs some help. Simmons should be back, it sounds like. So that would be a nice boost for them to be able to get some pass rush. Bunch of corners you never heard of and that you can't rely on.
I'm going to invoke my personal text line, Corey Curtis, but going back to the dumbest thing you've said today. He says, if there's a better tackle on the board in round three, you absolutely take him. You're not drafting for now. You're drafting for your future. Exactly. Oh, we have a need right now. Corey, you have a need everywhere. Take the best football player. It's very simple. You're a terrible GM.
He can't get out of the draft.
No, but this is philosophy, though. Like, this is draft philosophy, which I think we can talk about at all times. And PK has a bad philosophy.
My philosophy is you haven't taken a damn edge rusher since 2010 in the first round. You better get off your ass and do something about edge rusher.
Yeah.
You've been working on left tackle constantly.
Right, but if you keep failing at it, it's no less important a position. It continues to be an incredibly important position that you don't have filled well. Mandor or Dan Less, as someone on the text line also threw out today. But I like Mandor better than Dan Less.
I
both
think
pretty good.
If you have not addressed either and you have guys graded – relatively closely, which you will, take the edge.
They better be real damn close. Yeah, but the scenario is they've already taken the edge in the first round, right? Like, we're talking about, like, if it's a corner, you know. We'll
you
see.
Could find a franchise left tackle in the third round?
Well, not necessarily, but you might start find a starter who would be better than freaking Mandor.
I'm going to stick to my guns here. Let me tell you about how the league works and how all the quarterbacks work.
Tell me.
This is a Cam Ward holding on to the ball too long. You can have a left tackle that doesn't block great if you just throw the ball to the great receiver that you have. And that's how a lot of quarterbacks are having success in the league, because offensive lines around the league aren't that good. There was a graphic out yesterday.
Well, you should be a coach too then. My God.
That Cam Ward is holding the ball the longest for short plays and holding the ball the longest for long plays. And what he needs to do is get the ball out of his hands to a good receiver. Now, he doesn't have enough good receivers. Give him one of these guys that we're talking about. He can throw the ball very quickly to that guy, which he talks about doing constantly.
This makes so much sense.
And things will be better.
Get rid of left tackle on it. Who needs a left tackle? Get rid of the position.
I'm not saying that.
Why don't you just have receivers out there play 7-on-7?
I'm not saying
that. Just throw it right away. Oh, here's the ball. Throw it. I just threw it.
Good.
Somebody's open.
Look, I want them to have a left tackle too, but you guys are playing like they got 150 picks and they can fill up their roster with all of these great guys. They're going to have three picks worth noting. And they already committed a bunch of money to this guy that they can wait 1 year for an offensive lineman for once, instead of dedicating yet another top pick to a tackle while they can go address some other stuff for the first time in a while. And they need an upper echelon wide receiver to give Cam Ward a chance to be what they think Cam Ward can be.
Who does he love more, Vrabel or Mandor? I don't know. I can't tell.
Like Mandor at all.
Why don't you shut up and give us a Springsteen review?
I thought it was a pretty good movie. Could have cut 10 minutes out of it. And, you know, it's not for everyone. A lot about a guy's personal journey with depression. Joe Dubin will love it.
There we go. Live from Key West, by the way.
So those guys did a comedy show?
That's what I hear, yeah. I have not seen video.
Do we have video of this?
I need to find
not that it. I've seen.
They did a comedy show?
I think they did comedy sets in Florida.
Yeah.
Need to find it.
To no audience?
I don't know. Was there an audience?
I believe there was an audience. That's some type of open mic. I don't think so.
Oh, it was open mic night?
I think it was some type of free thing.
Even in Key West, don't block the box. Be sure to lock your locks.
That does it for us today.
We need video of that.
On the program. Next man up with Jake Lyman coming up next. You're listening to 102.5 The Game.